Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, my guest today is Chris Fawcett, who is the founder of Third Marble Marketing. With 29 years of digital marketing experience and 26 years of internet marketing experience, Chris is considered a veteran in the internet space. He has been involved in internet marketing for as long as internet marketing has been around. That's awesome. So today we're going to be discussing Chris's journey of building his agency and some exciting things that he's learned along the way. So thanks so much for joining us today, Chris.
Thank you.
So to get started, let's dive into a couple of questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit. So tell us, where are you tuning in from today?
Richmond, Virginia.
Very nice. And then what would you say really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
I guess I've always had a helpful nature. And so when we started Third Marble, or when I started Third Marble, I really wanted to be able to help people. And so that's, I think, one of the reasons Third Marble's almost exclusively focused on small businesses. Mm-hmm. We really don't have many clients that have more than, say, 20 employees.
Yeah. Very good. Interesting. And so I know that you are a veteran in the digital marketing space. So how did you get into it? What sort of piqued that interest?
Well, so my background or my education is industrial engineering, and first jobs were industrial engineering. And I went back to school to get my master's in operations research. And one of the professors there said, hey, I've got a company that needs an intern in Richmond, Virginia. Mm-hmm. And so he says, do you want an internship while you're working on master's? I was like, yeah, sure. And it happened to be this little direct marketing agency. You know, this is before the internet was a thing. I got started with them, finished up my master's work. And then I went to work for that company as their catalog manager. So they had recently started a catalog, and then we were, the traditional catalog mailers and things like that. So one day somebody said, hey, look, you can sell things online now. And, this is back when the screeching dial-up modems and the AOL disk would arrive in the mailboxes almost every day. And
yep.
I'm dating myself, of course. And so we had started a website, e-commerce website. And at that point, and basically wrote it from ground up because nothing existed. Like, there was no WordPress or Shopify or anything like that.
And then so you created the website yourself?
No, we had some programmers do it.
Gotcha.
But, I was part of the project and things like that. But you've got a warehouse, you've got products in stock, you've got systems in place to do that. It wasn't a stretch to just go ahead and add an e-commerce website on top of it.
Yep.
Very simple, very rudimentary, little tiny 1-inch by 1-inch images, things like that.
Yep.
And that's how I got started in e-commerce. And from there, that parlayed into, moved up to Boston, went to work for J. Jill, which I think is now owned by Talbots, but it was an up and coming women's fashion website. And they didn't even have a website when I got there. And one day my boss handed me a post-it note, and the CEO, Gordon, had put hey, it looks like this internet thing is for real. Get us online. And yeah. my boss, the VP of marketing, handed me the post-it note and said, here. And I looked at him and said, what's the budget? And he said, I don't know. You tell me. And so, yeah, that was a big website, huge multi-million-dollar project, which took months to get up online. It was great. It was fantastic. His first year did like $88 million, I think.
Amazing.
When it was live.
So cool.
Yeah. And what's really, I tell people this all the time, but what's really interesting is I could probably build that website this weekend if I wanted to.
Wow. Yeah.
With today's technology and tools. So.
Yeah. But it's so interesting to see how technology has evolved, specifically in digital marketing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. And then, yeah, so tell us a little bit about your story of how you started Third Marble Marketing.
Well, it was, I was working for a company in the Richmond area, e-commerce catalog, the direct marketing company, and decided to just up and leave one day. And I ran into a few people that had owned small businesses. Now, this is 2009, so the landscape was very different. You know, real estate agent meant you were unemployed. Mm-hmm. Contractor meant you had no work. And so there was a lot of contractors that, you know, 2 years prior had, you know, were overwhelmed with, you know, this housing boom and everything. And so there were a lot of real estate agents and other small businesses, people who kind of lost their way, and they started trying to start small businesses up. So there was a need for like website design, your typical agency type work. And so I got started in that. And the first one was a little pizza restaurant. I knew the owner, and he asked me basically to review some proposal from, it was Yellow Pages back then. I think it was YP.com. Mm-hmm. And yellowpages.com back then. And they wanted an astronomical amount of money. And I said, I could do that for a fraction of the cost. And that's kind of how I got started. And then a real estate neighbor of mine, agent, she says, yeah, I've got all these friends that are contractors. They need websites. Can you build them a website? Because everyone knew that I was, you know, doing a lot of e-commerce marketing things. So yeah, that's how I kind of got started. And then I fell into, a lot of people probably know what BNI groups are, but I somehow got invited to a local BNI group. And the next thing I know, I was just, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 websites. And then I was doing kind of everything. You know, the Facebook was just kind of getting started with their ads back then. And it really wasn't what it is today. Google ads, email marketing, things like that. And Bing used to be a lot more popular. Mm-hmm. Yahoo was in advertising back then. And what I found was the only thing that was really driving any significant traffic was Google ads.
Interesting.
And so, I started realizing that digital agencies are dime a dozen. In fact, in the Richmond market, this wasn't that far back, but there were 980 website design agencies in the Richmond market.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, I'm never going to break through that crowd. But there wasn't one that was just doing like Google ads. Mm-hmm. And so kind of following a Jiffy Lube type model, you know, Jiffy Lube only does one thing. So the oil changes, you're in and out real fast, quick, easy. We're not going to change your starter or fix your motor or anything like that. And so I said, we can do this. And so I started following kind of a Jiffy Lube model with the business. We stopped doing websites, and all we were doing was Google ads for a while. And then we got sick of people asking us to recommend those good search engine optimization companies. We started doing SEO maybe 6 years ago, something like that. And then a couple of years ago, we got sick of people asking us to help them speed up their website. And I couldn't find many people that could do that. Mm-hmm. Actually take a website and get it to load faster than 6 seconds on a mobile device. So we started a little sub-agency called Redo Sites, which really is just for our own clients. When they have slow websites, no sense in driving ads and SEO to a website that takes 25 seconds to load.
Yeah, exactly.
And we couldn't have that. So we, not website design, we call it website redo or website replatform. We put it on a much faster platform for people, just copy and paste things over. So
yeah,
that's where we are today. And I am not expanding into anything else. like the Jiffy Lube model. And then we started white labeling out to other agencies. So we have a white label program where we work with several dozen other agencies that we're doing the Google ads work in a kind of a private label.
Yeah.
Subcontractor fashion for them. So that's turned out to work out really well. So.
Awesome. Yeah. It's a great strategy. Love it. So I would love to pick your brain a little bit on what your sales process looks like within your agency and how you are bringing in more leads and then closing those prospects.
So our one of the things we learned really early was the biggest challenge we had is overcoming, I call it the Google barrier that people put up, right? If you go into any small business, a doctor, dentist, lawyer, plumber, maid service, whatever, and you say the word Google or page one of Google or SEO to them, and the defense shield instantly goes up. And so what we learned was we had to build trust. So our sales process is we try to be an open book on everything we do. Our website has, like, our entire search engine optimization process is on our website. Pretty much every single little thing we do, it's all spelled out. I don't know how many, if you printed it, it would be 10 pages long probably. And I think people really like that transparency. So one of the cornerstones in our sales process is trust and transparency to overcome that barrier. Primary sales lead gen is search engine optimization. If you Google something like Google Ads management pricing or something like that, we tend to be in the number one, number two spot pretty regularly. Yeah, but that's our lead is Google Ads. You know, white label, Google Ads, things like that for the agency side. We, you know, not a lot of searches for that, but we get a lot. We do some LinkedIn promotions, trying to target website designers for the white, again, the white label service. We have some boots on the ground salespeople that are doing the traditional attending networking events and the local chambers and BNI groups and things like that. And that's always effective, but very time consuming. We started an affiliate program because this is maybe only about 9 months old, but it's getting some traction now. There's so many people doing side hustles now that we decided to go ahead and create a little side hustle. So we found a lot of guys that are selling, like, say, credit card processing. You know, they're talking to a lot of people and, you know, it's just a simple, well, how are you doing? I'm getting on page one of Google. And if they find a guy says, yeah, well, have you talked to Third Marble yet? And they say, no, well, you should talk to these guys and pass us the leads and we kick them a little commission on that. So I think that's got a lot of potential for our sales team. Outside of that, a lot of other little things, you know, tinkering around on Alignable and Facebook a little bit, but not too much. Facebook's not for us.
Yeah, Alignable is interesting. I feel like it's not quite as saturated as LinkedIn, so you can get it's easier to get responses.
Well, it tends to be people that don't have enough business yet, that they're not busy enough, that they've got time in their day to spend on Alignable is what we've found. So it's you know, either people that recently joined a company or people who recently started a company, things like that. But it's I don't think it's being taken seriously yet, but it's small business. It's Facebook for small business owners, basically. And so if you're really going after that micro business, it's a great place to kind of to get and make a name for yourself. But people are very responsive out there.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, every once in a while, I'll just go on there and, you know, send out some messages and check my responses, like connect with people. And our very first client that we connected with, we met on Alignable. So, it's interesting. I think it's,
I think it's great for website designers because people just go on there and literally ask the question, hey, I want my, I need a new website. What should I do?
Yeah, exactly. It's true.
Okay.
You got it.
Doesn't get much easier than that.
Exactly. So, what are your tips for creating really happy, loyal clients who are going to, you know, refer you at the end of the day?
We, kind of a interesting question. So our goal in making a client happy is to not have them contact us. And that sounds a little odd, but really we've got clients we probably haven't talked to in 5 years.
Okay.
And the reason being is I want somebody to call us up and say, I don't care what you, this is, sounds really bad, but bear with me. I don't care what you do. I don't care what you do. As long as my phone's ringing, I'll keep paying you. That is like our ideal client.
Yeah. You just want them to be so happy that they're just letting you do your thing.
Yeah, we're not a creative agency, so we don't have this kind of like subjective thing. Everything we do is empirically measured with numbers.
Yes.
You know, calls, you know, calls per call, calls and everything like that, where, you know, by zip code, by whatever we want to look at it, and slice and dice data all day long. And so most business owners don't have time for that. And especially busy business owners that are trying to grow their business. And we really, we found that that works. We do have a lot of people that will call us up and they're expecting us to be their fractional CMO. Mm-hmm. Or something like that, like their advisor. It's like Third Marble is a Google Ads service. We manage your account for you. We do search engine optimization. We'll give you some, we call them homework assignments, right? So, hey, this page needs more content. We're not going to write the content because we don't know your business as well as you do. Give us three more paragraphs on this page. Mm-hmm. That's more the way we work with our clients. I mean, if they really want us, we'll recommend a copywriter or something like that. Mm-hmm. So our happy clients are the ones that never call us. Is I guess where I was going with all that. So that's kind of our goal. The first couple of months, obviously, yeah, we're going to have lots of conversations, lots of emails, phone calls, Zoom, Google Meet, Zoom meetings, whatever. Because we got to get things set up right.
Yes.
But after that, it's. You know, we'll email somebody and say, hey, look, everything's looking good. Your goal was leads at $50 a lead. We're getting you leads at $35 a lead. Would you like to increase your budget?
Okay. Like and then do you do like a monthly check-in call, anything like that? Or
we send out monthly reports. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Third Marble, we're all about efficiency and getting our costs as low as possible.
Yeah.
So things like meetings and unnecessary, if we call up, I mean, 80% of our clients, if we called them up for a monthly meeting, they'd be like, why are you calling me?
Yeah.
Why are you bothering me? I got, you know, my phone's ringing, things are good. You know, that's kind of where we're at. So, you know, the monthly meeting, if you want to call us, the way we approach it, and a lot of people don't get this at first, but when explained to them that we can do the monthly meeting, we'll put you on our gold package, which doesn't really exist. It'll cost you an extra $200 a month. Oh, well, time is money. So if you want to a more affordable price, then guess what? These monthly meetings, which we do have clients that have monthly meetings with us, don't get us wrong, but 80%, 90% of them don't, especially right after the first couple of months. So that's more of our philosophy is we need to be as efficient as we can, minimize the number of hours we spend on everything we do. Mm-hmm. And so I call ourselves a process-driven agency.
Interesting.
So a typical agency is very project-oriented. Mm-hmm. So they'll talk about having brainstorming sessions and project management software. We don't have project management software at Third Marble because nothing is treated as a project. Everything is treated as a process. So we know exactly what we're going to do. I can do, so you call us up, you sign up, your ads are up 24 hours later and running.
Yeah.
Initial ads. Then that goes through a process and it goes, you know, it's a very linear, we try to get linear processes are so much more efficient. Projects are, you've got a beginning and an end and there's 2,000 different ways to get there. So you have to have meetings all along the way to figure out the correct path. Process yeah. has a beginning and an end. It's predefined. Yeah. I don't have to have meetings.
That's really interesting.
Google Ads and SEO can be a very process. Now, we a little backstory that we like to say is we're kind of like Henry Ford. What Henry Ford did for the automobile back in the 20s, he didn't invent the automobile. Okay. What he did was he invented a way to make the automobile that made it more affordable.
Right.
And accessible for everyone. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make Google Ads and SEO affordable and accessible for the smaller guys out there. Mm-hmm. And that's our shtick, if you will. You know, so we work with people that have like $300 a month budgets, you know, $500 a month budgets. And most agencies won't touch anything under $5,000.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, so it's important that we have scale and volume, of course, to
yes.
do this. But every time, you know, we can save 5 minutes here or a half hour there. We try to get that out of our processes. so we can keep our rates as affordable as possible.
Yeah, no, it's a really unique model. And I think it makes a lot of sense, you know, and it's all about just communicating those expectations with your clients from the start.
That's always a challenge because we do get that 5-10% of the people that start asking us questions like, well, are we going to have a meeting where we sit down for 5 hours and discuss this? And I'm like, we're going to charge you $229 and you want to have a 5-hour meeting with us? Does that make sense to you? I don't say it that way, of course, but
yeah.
You know, they're not for us. As to go back to the Henry Ford example, Henry Ford always said, you can have any color car you want as long as it's black. So we're not for everybody.
Yeah. No, it's so important to work with your ideal client, you know, just someone who's going to be a good fit. They understand how you work. And I love that you guys are so particular with the process that you've implemented.
Yeah, our goal, our client is we want the client that wants their phone to ring.
Yeah.
If you want to think outside of the box and reinvent the wheel and use any of those phrases, you know, that's, we're not for you.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. Very good. So what would you say has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome and how have you overcome that?
Well, I think, it's that, I mentioned this earlier, but that trust barrier that goes up when you say digital marketing or Google Ads or anything mm-hmm. related to Google. That's, you know, the early years where, you know, when you meet people face to face, it's pretty easy to overcome that barrier, but you know, how do you start to scale on a national level, to pick up clients all across the US? And that's been, we get a lot more, the calls tend to start off, you know, initial calls start off a little bit more along the lines of, well, tell me, you know, are you a real company kind of questions, you know, where are you located? And, you know, how many employees do you have and things like that?
Yeah.
They always try to start off feeling out, but, that definitely has been one of the biggest challenges in terms of scaling up. All of our systems are set up so that, you know, if we needed to double in size in the next 6 months, we could onboard, train, and get everything in place to do that.
Interesting.
And so now I just need people to trust us.
So building that initial trust has been a bit of a challenge.
It probably the number one challenge to scale. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. So have you determined any, you know, productivity hacks that can help save you time?
I got to tell you, I spent a lot of time trying to hobble together a bunch of different systems and along the way became kind of an expert at using Zapier to try to zap everything together. And finally we broke down about 2 years ago and I kind of have a bit of a database background development. This is going way back, but I found a nice system called QuickBase, which is a, you know, it's a easier to use non-programming SQL Server type of a platform with a lot of reporting functionality, things like that. But we customized the whole thing. We couldn't, with the way we do things, our efficiencies come from a couple of things, but this system is called the Whirlwind Database. And that's from the, Four Disciplines of Execution by the Covey group, Stephen Covey's group. And they talk about the whirlwind as being kind of the work that you have to do every day. So we named the database, the Whirlwind Database. And what it does is it brings in all the data from Google Ads and some SEO stuff and things like that. And it takes all of our goals for all of our clients. And it takes all the tasks are being recorded. So every time somebody does something, gets recorded in the database and how long it took them to do it, the data they took, the date, time, stamp, everything. And it says if the client's meeting its goal or exceeding its goal, then it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? So we don't have to do so much. And then if the account is not meeting, so if the goal is, say, to get leads at $100 a lead, and we're at, say, $200 a lead, well, that's 50%, you know, we're 200% off goal or whatever. That gets factored into this algorithm that will push that account up higher into the what's literally called the work on next report. And so the team just goes in and says, okay, this account's next. I'm going to start on it. And they go to work and do it. And so we have these algorithms that determine what's the work on next. And so if it's not meeting its goal and it hasn't been optimized in, say, 2 weeks or something like that, and then we also have this DEFCON number, which the account managers can assign. And DEFCON's that old, you know, nuclear war movie thing. DEFCON 5 means all is well, we're at peace. And DEFCON 1 is like, war is imminent, get the fighters in the jets, get the jets up in the air. Yeah. And so, you know, if the client's mad or whatever, you know, and we ask DEFCON 1, then I'm looking at it personally almost every day. You know, DEFCON 2, our operations manager is looking at it like twice a week at least. And DEFCON 3 is, you know, we have our more senior reps looking at it on a more regular basis. And so all these things get factored into what's going to be worked on next. And so when we have accounts that are doing well and clients are happy, we don't have to do too much to it, just the basic blocking and tackling. And that saves us a lot of money. Whereas maybe a more traditional agency model might be, you get assigned this account, this is your account, and you're supposed to work on it, say, 2 hours a week. Well, if I'm just sitting there and you're paying me for 2 hours a week to do 10 minutes worth of work, you don't make any money. Mm-hmm. Now, when something's out of whack, we lose money, right? So our price is based on, we're going to keep your account in control, meeting its goal. We're very close to it. And if not, we're going to fix it on our dime. I'm not going to charge extra hours to fix something that we couldn't do.
Yeah.
So that's how we become efficient. Long-winded answer to your question. I apologize, but that's kind of how we operate. I'm an industrial engineer by education.
So. No, it's all good. It's interesting stuff. Awesome. So what would you say are some of the critical systems or even software that have really been helpful in streamlining your operations?
Well, obviously the database that we custom built.
Yep.
Outside of that, we're just huge in Google Docs and being able to share things like that. Google Meet, mm-hmm. of course, has been, you know, since the whole COVID thing. But we worked like in the office like Tuesday, Thursday, and then we would at home Monday, Wednesday, Friday. That was kind of where we were right before COVID. So COVID wasn't a huge adjustment for us.
So your project management software that you use, that's what you custom built.
I would call it process management because again, we don't treat anything that's really as a project,
but we don't
have project management.
Okay. So you've just got your straight process that you follow and, that's that.
We were using Teamwork for some, SEO, like the first setup phases and stuff like that as more of a checklist. And that's pretty much what we were using Teamwork. We really don't use it anymore though, but now we don't use any other, type of project. We don't have any Gantt charts or anything like that.
Okay. Very good. Awesome. So where do you see Third Marble Marketing in 5 years' time?
I would like to see us, I'm really got the gas pedal down on sales right now and awesome. Scaling. So now that it's a little easier to find employees than it was, about a year ago. So mm-hmm. we're trying to scale up right now. I would like to see us 3 times the size we are now in 5 years.
Exciting.
We grew about 30% last year. So that was pretty good.
Nice. So we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but is there anything else that you'd like to add that you think would be valuable to our listeners, all the agency owners who are listening?
Not that I can think of.
That's fine. Well, yeah, let's move on to the fast five. So we've got 5 rapid fire questions for you. And to start, what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
For agency owners, I really like Built to Sell by John Warlow. I think it's John Warlow.
Okay.
That's kind of where I got the whole Jiffy Lube idea from that I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Where you really focus in. And I think in the book, it's basically written like a story. And he talks about how an agency owner decides to – he was doing all this stuff and had all this overhead. And he focused in on just doing logo design. and he was able to charge more. He had less overhead and things like that. And it streamlined his business. And I think that's one of the things that's teed us up for this, this whole process centric philosophy that we have. Is you can't be process centric and have, you know, 25 different processes.
So. Yeah, no, it's really interesting. And what does your morning routine look like?
I'm one of those people in the morning, I've got the most focus. So I jump right out of bed and open up the laptop. There's a couple of administrative things that I have to do every morning, and a couple of accounts that I manage, very large accounts that I manage personally. And I jump right on those first thing, get that knocked out, so I don't have to worry about it the rest of the day. After about my third cup of coffee, then I'll take a break. So I'm kind of an early riser. So this is before everybody else is up and working. So
nice.
Usually working somewhere around 6 or 6:30 in the morning.
Got it. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Not really. I would say it's more bits and pieces. You know, I think like Jobs and Musk are visionaries. And that's what made them successful. Dave Thomas, Wendy's, he was, he had this philosophy called the bun count. And I won't get into it, but, I love that concept of boiling your business down to one metric. And that determines, we kind of do that with basically what we call our active services count. It's kind of our bun count. But and of course, Henry Ford, which we've already talked about, I think he was, you know, he put almost every American in the car. And and he did it by improving the life of all his employees in the meantime. I mean, I think he had to get to some scale to do that, of course, but, you know, he reduced the work weeks and he increased their pay and things like that in a time where nobody was doing that. So I really admire Henry Ford for doing that.
I love that. And what is your favorite online tool?
I love Google Keep. I was a big Post-it note person, you know, and back in the day with the two monitors, and I had Post-it notes just kind of all over the border of my monitor.
Yep.
So Google Keep is the online Post-it note that I can pull up on my phone or my computer or whichever computer I'm on. And I keep lists of everything. So, you know, for example, I got a Post-it note for our corporate, the hex decimal codes for our corporate colors, things, things like that. So
yeah.
I know if, whenever I need that corporate color, I know exactly where it is. So
yeah, no, I do the same. Yeah. I do the Post-it notes on my desktop, and yeah, it's just things that you're looking up all the time that you want easy access to. It's so handy. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Career or the business? I kind of began the career, as I always said, start my own business sooner. But when starting the business, I wish I had done a better job of keeping the foot down on the gas pedal. Just
bringing
with
in more sales.
And never stop pushing lead gen and stuff like that. There are periods where we took a step back and focused on internal things. You know, the rocky road with a couple of employees and things like that. That's just, you know, should have just bypassed that.
Interesting. Good advice. Yeah, exactly. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Chris. It was a pleasure to have you on the show, and I really enjoyed our chat.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.